Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier today on the Mac and Bone Show.
But look, for me, I'm more concerned about the well-being of our guys. You know, Flip sprains his ankle. When are we going to ban core storming? Like, when are we going to ban that? Like, how many times does a player have to get into something where they get punched or they get pushed or they get taunted right in their face? And it's a dangerous thing. And I don't want that to take away from the game that Wake played. Because Wake played a big-time game. Salas was as good as could be today, and hats off to them. But you look around the country, and Caitlin Clark, something happens. And now Flip, I don't know what his status is going to be. He sprains his ankle. And it's one thing, like, when I played, at least it was 10 seconds in the court, you know, you would storm the court.
That's Duke head coach John Shire calling for the banning of court storming after the Wake fans stormed the court. Amazing win for Wake. We covered that in the basketball-only segment that was earlier. But now we have to get to the storyline that is so big, it is being discussed on the CBS National Morning Show right now. That's how big of a deal that this is. And I think it's in large part because it involves a Duke player.
Yep. Marquette's not getting on CBS.
I'm not thinking so.
CBS this morning with Nate Burrell. Gail King right now is breaking down the film.
And maybe this is the incident bone that gets the storm banned. Maybe it is, because the fact that it happened, a star player, not a regular player, a star player is hurt, and he plays for Duke. This is such a storm, no pun intended, of things that make this newsworthy and talked about. I do wonder, this is at least going to lead to change. And I think at the very least, you have to get these schools to put enough security out there to make it known that we are going to get the five opposing basketball players off the floor, and then you can run out there. They have to find a way to do that. That's what Seth Greenberg said at Virginia Tech. We pulled this off.
You were the favorites.
It was planned well.
You were the favorites going into the game. You knew you had a great opportunity to be Duke. That it's Duke, and students stormed the court. No one has stormed more than Duke is. That the chance was high that something was going to happen. I talked to a broadcaster this weekend that has experience with these things, that the referees go to the scorer's table at the 5-minute mark, 4-minute mark, and they say, are we ready to go? This could be happening here. Do you have the plans in place? And yet you still allowed students on the court at 0.7 seconds to go. So, yeah, you could say Filipowski was moving kind of slow. I don't know.
He definitely was.
I don't know but he was getting lost in the wash, even on the hop with those kids running the court.
I have a hard time blaming somebody when they get run over by, there's hundreds of people running at you. And by the way, the dude that everybody apparently feels so bad for, the dude that people think is a victim of Filipowski, he is the one that, as CBS Sports pointed out, is running at him, taunting him. Just run past him. You know what I mean? Like,
kid did run past him and came back and put his hands on him.
Well, yeah, he was on the other side.
That's the guy he was talking about in the postgame, Filipowski was, that kid.
I thought Seth Greenberg nailed it. It's up to game day operations, and you talked about it too, to be prepared for that and to be better prepared. And I don't understand. Shire said it. Shire said he played in games where the court got stormed on him, and there was a 10-second period. I mentioned Florida State. I know for a fact Florida State stormed bone on Duke and Carolina, and it was one of those games where I noticed they had the rope area where they got the players to, and the players were roped off behind the benches. They were able to walk, and everybody else is out on the other side.
It's FSU had a system
just
down.
Somebody spend the money on enough security, and somebody plan correctly, or then you got to do away with it. If you can't do it in a safe way, then you got to do away with it.
We are approaching a disaster, whether it's a serious player injury, a fan approaching a coach or a referee or a player, whatever the scenario is, or Mac, even just these students running on the court, they're running full speed. They've got no awareness of their surroundings. The girl that ran in, the woman that ran into Caitlin Clark was on her phone taking a selfie. So we are headed for a disaster, Mac, where if one student falls, God forbid, there could be a trampling situation here. And what's going to happen when that happens? When a student gets injured or, God forbid, worse.
Haven't we
because
seen...
Because they get run over. There's no
haven't
organization.
Haven't we seen punches thrown? Haven't we seen players...
Football we have before,
get into
right?
it with fans? Yeah. Is that field storms where that's happened?
Yeah. I think they've ever, like, landed, but they've come, like, real close. They might have shoved a guy.
I saw a player, I forget what SEC school it was, just shoved the girl. A female fan running.
I remember. I don't remember the school, though.
Like Tennessee. Jermaine Burton, maybe? Well, from Alabama, he got involved in something?
We've seen stuff that you know, is, right, that shows what could happen. And plus, we don't have to be that smart to figure out what could happen when all these fans run on the court screaming. Some of them are yelling at players. Some of them aren't sober. They're college kids. You know what I mean? Like, it's a horrible mix. Players just lost a tough game. You're probably, if you're getting court stormed, you probably just got upset or it's probably a tough game to lose. You're not happy. I mean, it's just a combustible mix. And if they can't figure out a way to hold off the students, then they can't do it. Now, Bone, it is happening on the text line. Like you knew it would. Barron, our guy Barron, who usually is singing happy songs for us on the show, is now going to make you angry, Bone, because he says that Kyle Filipowski forearm shivered the guy.
Okay.
That's how he said this.
First of all, he didn't. Even if he did, you've got 1,000 people running at you, one guy yelling at you. How would you handle that, Barron? You're just going to go, well, it's good to see you there. Good to see you, young man. Welcome in. No. You got 1,000 people running at you. Emotions are high. So let's not all act holier than thou that we're all just going to walk away from that peacefully. I don't think he did anything. He's got a ton of people running at him. But even if he did, let's blame the student for being in a place he's not supposed to be to begin with.
See,
he's not supposed to be there, man. He's not.
But you can blame both.
But you can't.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, if this was Armando Bacot, you'd be having a Senate hearing today about it.
If Armando stuck his leg out, he would be walking.
If a state fan ran into Bacot,
how
would you act?
You'd want the death penalty for the
truthfully,
state fan.
How would you act today?
I mean, if he did what Filipowski did, I would
There's 0.0% chance.
But again,
you guys are doing an emergency podcast this morning about how to change the laws with reform.
I'm not like you guys who love the court storming, love field storming, and then now when this scenario happens, all of a sudden everything's got to change.
I don't really love it, I gotta be honest. It just kind of happens.
It's the Duke hate obsession. You need it like oxygen. You have to play the game of gotcha. You have to try to figure out. Did Filipowski move fast enough? Did he trip a guy? Was he doing it on purpose? Is he faking an injury? I've heard it all this weekend. It's an obsession with trying to figure out how to blame Duke for something in a spot where there's no blame for Duke, other than maybe Shire getting him off the court quicker. But Steve Forbes did call a timeout, and that allowed the students to also organize.
It's a problem.
If this guy played for Washington State, I have a hard time believing all these Tar Heel fans would be up in arms at what the player did.
Well, it'd be a conversation.
Y'all wouldn't give a damn.
No, it would be a conversation, and I would have the same mindset.
No,
both of them are to blame. You shouldn't have stuck your leg out and tried to trip a guy.
CBSSports.com. Let me say my piece on this, Bone, because I am on your side. And I find it absurd that people, Flounder and many others, are blaming Filipowski. First of all, I want to send 500 people screaming and running at Flounder and see if he does not stick his arms out. Someone called it a forearm shiver. You wouldn't brace and protect yourself if people are running past you on both sides. There's no way you just stand there and just say, hey, just run into me. Let fate be what it is. Everybody will brace themselves and put their hands out. It's a natural reaction if people are running past you on both sides. And as for this step, I just watched it. Everybody go to CBSSports.com. They do a whole thing breaking down all the different video angles. Okay? Tar Heel fans, this is mandatory reading for your asses. All right? Go read it and go watch the overhead view. And you think, I just find it crazy that you think that's a trip, Flounder. He is stepping and because he's putting his arms out, and he's taking a step as he puts his arms out. He's putting his arms out as a defense mechanism because a dude, first of all, was yelling something at him, running at him, and he's just putting his arms up. It's a natural thing. I cannot believe.
I disagree.
People are blaming Filipowski.
You disagree because it's Duke. That's why you disagree.
No.
Period. Okay.
But there won't be another scenario like this because it doesn't seem like anybody else ever has a problem of getting off the court when the court gets stormed when players are out there.
Because it's handled better. We just went through Florida State's got a whole system down where they would
They've been storming courts all year with players on
Florida
there and nobody's
had
gotten
a whole
hurt.
System
so
down.
I don't know what to tell
Florida
you.
Florida State had a whole system down that we saw where they had the rope up and players went behind it. I think Coach K did sacrifice the walk-on players one time out there because he had to. But Roy did it as well. But the Florida State had a system down. So that's why it doesn't happen. Why are they on the court at 0.7 seconds? Yeah.
And the game wouldn't
even
ended
if they're
on the floor.
It's a fair question. And again, I am not saying that he is the person to blame for everything. Like, first, the fact of the matter is, the way to solve any players getting injured or anything like that is very simple. You either stop court storming, you wait, whatever it is. The court storm was what is the biggest problem here. But I do believe that he, when he sees this guy coming, because you can see it if you watch the video, he sees him coming towards him, he hears him yelling at him, and he says, hey, this guy's coming at me, he's yelling, I'm going to trip him and shove him.
If a student,
he's right
if
there
a student
in front of
is
me.
Yelling at you on the court, are you just going to go, you're not going to defend yourself? He's running right at him.
Get in the dude's face. Don't stick your leg out because you're gonna.
He's walking
because he's gonna get hurt. No, he's not.
There is no.
No, he's not. You don't know what walking is.
You're watching in slow motion, man. Watching in fast motion.
That's the way to catch everything.
The Tar Heel ABD glasses and look at it the way I'm looking at it.
And I'm looking at it the exact same way.
I like Carolina. You are not looking. There's no way you can be.
100%.
You are looking for a reason to blame a Duke player you probably don't like anyway. I mean,
he's irrelevant to me. He doesn't really do anything. He hasn't killed me. What has he done?
You just said my point right there. You just said it without even knowing it.
What?
I said, you're watching in slow motion. What did you say? That's how you catch stuff.
No, but that's how you see if something like that happens.
But why would you even think, like, why did you go on there and start looking to see what Filipowski did wrong?
I didn't. I saw the slow motion video.
Most normal human beings just watched and said, holy crap, man, something's got to be done about court
storming. I saw the slow motion video and... It looks like
now,
he sticks his leg out
you
to
watch
trip him.
He's taking a step, and he's putting his arms out. Again, I'm going to tell you right now, Flounder, I swear to God, I'm about ready to recruit 500 listeners to run right
and
out
And I would
your
make
sorry
it out.
Ass. There is no
problem.
There is
guaranteed.
No way. There's no way they're running on both sides of you, and you don't put your arms out.
0% chance.
It is a human reaction to put your arms up. People are running past you on this side. There's no way you just keep on standing there and just let him run past you and possibly truck your hiney.
Well, I'm not worried about him shoving the guy. I don't think that's the problem. I'm saying the reason he said in the post game that he got hurt because this dude targeted him. I don't care what you say about the guy that shoved him in the back. That was not who he was talking about. He's talking about the guy that ran in front of his face, was screaming at him.
He said,
that's how he got hurt.
You have the clip. You literally have the clip. You're the one that got the clip over there. You're the one that gave the clip to us. He literally says, I was targeted. People told me I got shoved in the back. Like, that's
well,
what
he was.
About.
I thought he was talking about the guy. Both. I think he was talking about both of
and
them.
I didn't
he
even
was like
and
Josh
I,
Graham works in Winston. He told me what he was talking about. He's objective to the. He's more on the Wake side than the Duke side. So Flounder, you know more than Billis, Fraschilla, Greenberg, Spatola, Dykes, Kellogg, and Seth Davis about.
I mean, there's plenty of other people that watched it and thought the same.
That radio tool in Richmond.
I've seen
Will Compton, Randy Scott of ESPN said
Will
the
Compton.
Exact same thing.
Will Compton, you busted with the boys. Barstool hates Duke, by the way. So there's a great one for you. But all these
that's your Duke fan mentality that's kicking in.
All these basketball minds, you know more than they do.
Yes, I watched it.
Seth Greenberg,
they didn't watch it.
No, apparently not.
How often does Seth?
They're not worried about.
How often, Matt, does Seth Greenberg go to the Duke side of stuff ever?
Very rarely.
Fran Fraschilla said, if you think Filipowski is to blame, didn't he call people idiots on Twitter? Basically, or you never seen basketball.
Yeah, I'm going to trust what Fran Fraschilla has to say. Go watch another take of an overseas prospect.
So you know more about these guys.
You're wasting my time on television.
You know more than these people in the game than they do.
Yes,
I've said and watched it.
I know what I see. Well, I don't care what they say.
Once again, fraud.
Maybe they're just looking at it as unbiased observers, and maybe you're a little biased. Maybe you're a little effing biased. It's that simple to me.
I think they look at it differently than I do. Do you think it's a coincidence
that Tar Heel fans are the ones on your side today? You think that's a coincidence? Or you think they hate Duke so much that they want to see that incident
and blame Duke. Well, they can have their own narratives.
I would hope I have credibility on this because I absolutely went off on Grayson Allen and I went off on Coach K for slapping Grayson Allen's wrist. I would hope I have credibility on this because of the way I acted in that situation. And now I'm telling you, I'm not afraid to blame somebody at Duke. But I'm sorry. I don't understand how you can blame a guy when everybody's running at him. Somebody's taunting him on the way over like that. He put his arms up like, and you wanted him to get off the floor so he can't take a step flound. That's a step he's taking. He's a 7-foot man. His step a little bigger than yours over there, Hondo. Like, seriously.
That's not a normal step.
The two guys you said, the two guys on your side were Will Compton and Randy Marsh.
Who's Randy Marsh?
That's the guy. Did you say Randy? Oh, that's the guy from South Park.
Who's the other guy on your side? You
Randy Scott.
Randy Scott from SportsCenter and Will Compton were the two guys. Not all the basketball people that are on your side.
Well, it's not a basketball play, so how are we breaking that down? So we're breaking down fundamentals of the game for someone running at you on a court or on a field? How does that make sense?
It's just people that just have been around the game and been around court storms. I think that's what we're dealing with.
Football players have been around field storms now.
Football is more spaced out where people can get away a little faster at times.
But you do have more players. There's more players,
but there's more room to operate.
But anyway, I got to be honest. Will Compton, entertaining podcast. He's not the guy, Flound, that I'm going to for the answers on this. I'm sorry, man. Like get in that bus and bro up with some great guests and have some fun guy talk. But, like, I did not come in here this morning. I wonder what Will Compton thinks about the court storm. I did not come in here thinking that today. But I do care what people that are in basketball think about it and think about whether or not it should be banned and how it was executed and all that stuff. And, again, I'm sorry, man. I just think I love you, but I think you come across as biased. There's no way you would ever blame a Tar Heel player for this. There is no way that someone could storm the court on the Tar Heels and you would find a way. I'm telling you right now, Armando Bacot could have a chainsaw and cut the head off of a fan running on the floor. And I don't even know if Flounder would blame him.
Flounder, it would never happen because they don't do it there for logistics and just other reasons. If a Duke fan was running onto the court, would you be supporting the Duke fans?
For running onto the court?
Well, if there was a storm at Cameron, just hypothetically speaking, it wouldn't happen. But if there was, and the Duke fans ran into another opposing player, what side would you be on?
Probably, I'd have to look and see what actually happens.
You would be ripping the Duke fans for being on the court.
No, because I'm not biased at, like you guys are claiming. I mean, you would. You would, because you defend Duke.
Are you biased for NC State?
If a Duke fan ran into a player, what would you say?
If a Duke fan ran, again, I would have to see what actually happened.
Yeah, he'd watch the slow motion video recaps.
He would blame Bacot for a big step into a Duke fan.
He'd ask great basketball mind Will Compton how to handle this situation.
It's crazy. Flounder is getting so much reaction. Flounder, I know you believe this and you're passionate about it and it creates great radio. But I just can't believe people blame Filipowski
because
for that.
I was
shocked by it.
They need Duke. They need Duke to be involved in these things.
Jason agrees. Flip kicked out, period.
They want it so bad.
Steph, actually.
They're upset. There is a Duke obsession.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. This afternoon on the Wes and Walker Show.
I think this is something that is up at the top of why we're concerned about storming the court. Someone will get hurt bad eventually if nothing changes. I guess only #elite teams are concerned about it. Ultimately, you have to care about that at least a little bit. It's not going to change. I saw Jay Billis talking about this earlier, too, because I think college basketball likes the look of it. Maybe because you thought this was a high enough profile case where this is Filipowski playing for Duke in somewhat of a rivalry between Duke and Wake Forest. Then maybe this was the incident that we would see lead to change. But we still haven't heard anything about it. I don't think we will. Maybe different schools will have different policies in place. Maybe in-house they all start to figure out, hey, we got to make sure we have an environment that is okay. If this happens, we got to make sure the players get off the court safe enough. And we need to implement those policies as much as possible. But as far as some sweeping, this is what happens if you have something go terribly wrong on fans storming the court, I don't expect that to happen. You ultimately do have to try as much as you can to care about player safety. And if you're mad at Kyle Filipowski for extending his leg out, if you're mad at him for putting his shoulder into, I mean, he's bracing himself for the shoulder thing. I hope nobody has a problem with him just throwing his shoulder down because there's a million people coming his way. Like, there's a lot, okay? It reminds me of Simba getting ready for the wildebeest running through him at that gorge. Like, Filipowski, a little bit bigger than Simba, for sure. But it's not like he's Cam Newton out there. Like, he's 6'10", but he's also rail thin. There's a reason we've called him soft. I'm sure this isn't going to help, by the way. But yeah. People have called him soft before. Like, I don't care. I don't even care if you are Cam Newton, to be honest with you. He'll be able to handle himself better. We saw that over the weekend. You got how many people are rolling at, like, running at you? Full steam with, what? Don't even care. Like, yeah, we got the victory. Boom, boom, get out of my way. You ain't stopping that.
Yeah.
So they do need to take the necessary precautions. John Shire, I don't know, man, because everybody else was close to the sideline from what I saw. It was just Filipowski that was a little bit further on the other end of the court. I have a hard time blaming Shire or Filipowski for this. I have a hard time saying, oh, it's their fault when, man, there's still time left on the game clock. Sure, it 99.9 and even more than that percent chance that they were going to lose that game, for sure. But also, they get to do what they want, I guess, in those last 2 seconds, right? Like after that free throw?
Yeah.
And the players didn't allow them to get back to the sideline safely enough? And then even McCain, I don't know if anybody saw this, but when McCain is over there on the sideline, some fan got in his face because those guys are unruly. You can't tell them nothing, man. We just got to win over a top 10 school in our own backyard, meaning Duke not so far away. We're partying and it's starting right now and there's nothing you can do to stop me. Security guard, please. I'm partying here. I'm partying in your face. I'm partying right on top of Kyle Filipowski. I understand people saying there should be at least some amendment here to try to protect the students as much as they possibly can. Not the students, I mean the players out there on the court.
Yeah, man, no doubt about it. And so that's the thing. You have to just be aware of situation. You got to be able to read the room. And again, like I said, from the top part, it did look like he was trying to be cute and try to chip somebody and it backfired on him. Now, I'm not saying that that's exactly what happened, but that's the optics. That's a plausible scenario. But other than that, as a player, as we said, you have to be cognizant of the situation. You got to know, look, man, it's been building the entire game. Filipowski heard that crowd. He knew how excited they were pregame for this. There were students camping out. He knew when they got in there. He could tell from the feel of that crowd, every shot that Wake Forest made, every positive play that they made, the crowd was roaring. So you knew this was going to be a crazy atmosphere once the clock hit zero if Wake came out the victor. So you've got to be able to get off the court or, like I said, protect yourself. You know kids are coming. So then if I see them coming and I'm walking across the court, I'm going to slow down, watch all the kids flying by me. Then when I feel like I have a decent path or to the point where it gets bunched up enough to where nobody's flying by me anymore, then I can start to make my way through the crowd, or not to mention, you know, Duke, some of my players or whoever the case is going to also help me get off of the court. But I just think that there are ways to go about it. And so for Filipowski, I think it's completely lacking self-awareness to think that at the end of this game, he was just going to be able to just mosey on off the court with no problems and not have to dodge anybody with the way that crowd was worked up for the entirety of that game.
Look, I know no matter what I say, it's going to be painted as a Duke hater. And at this point,
I'll own it.
It's one of the texts that we got I wanted to get to.
It's the same with me, too. They're going to hit me with the same thing.
And look, it's fine. It's the last week of February. Bleep every team in the ACC. I want to win an ACC regular season title. I'm all for player safety. I don't like the idea that Kyle Filipowski got hurt. And if he missed a significant time, it does. It's not a good thing. But I got so upset listening to people in the college basketball world that I thought I respected. Seth Davis, I never respected him. Seth Greenberg, Jay Billis, all these guys basically say fans don't have a right to be on the court. If there weren't 14,000 fans in the stands, would college athletics be the billion-dollar industry that it is? Like, we need to protect the players. I get that. But the fans are at the core of every single sport. You take away fans, you're taking away the money, the revenue, you're taking away in the environment, you're taking away what makes sports sports. Think about it during COVID. It was not the same watching high-level athletes play in empty gymnasiums or in empty football stadiums, baseball games, no matter what it was. And so fans do have a right because you're paying a lot of money for a ticket to park, to eat food, to students for tuition. You have a right when your team wins a game that significant to celebrate in a manner that is going to last a lifetime.
You pay all that money and none of it grants you court access. So when you're talking about how much we missed the fans during COVID, we didn't miss them being on the court. We missed them creating a loud environment, which was successful and checked off their list on Saturday. As far as them deserving to be on the court, now we're going too far. If you want to storm the court after the game, okay. It's fun. I can't lie. I would have done it as a college student, too.
Listen, he would have done it if he was there on Saturday. He's a grown-ass man.
We need that isolated. A grown-ass man with that Willie P. peak. We need that isolated as much as possible. Yeah, and that's all fair. But to say that, like, because then, is it just after the game? Like, Fitty, here we are talking about how they deserve to be on the court and the sport wouldn't be anything without the fans. So then, do they deserve to be out there, like, in between quarters? Like, while they're playing? So it's just basically before? Like, what about during warm-ups? What about, like,
I just don't,
we can protect, the court is okay to protect.
I just don't understand how we live in a place where fans are the backbone of every single sport. But they get mistreated more than anybody because you got to overpay. And now when they celebrate, like if this was in the professional level, I think it doesn't hit the same. Like court storming, field storming, it's a college athletics type of thing. I think it's just part of the – it's just part of it.
Yeah, it's part of the fabric of college sports. There's no question about that.
And there's no way that you can amend it or adapt it. When North Carolina beats Duke or wins a national championship in basketball – you storm Franklin Street. I've been a part of storming Franklin. In 2017, you were still setting bonfires on Franklin Street. We no longer set the fires, but you still storm Franklin. You celebrate with the thousands of fans that are on campus. So you can still storm the court. It needs to be policed better.
So that's
but it doesn't need to be banned.
Well, yeah, right. But you're talking – that's not – any issue that I had, because of course I think we need to try to figure out a way to make that a little safer for the players out there on the court. But when we're talking about not like saying they deserve to be out there, like that's where we need to go ahead and police that. I mean, no, I wouldn't say that they deserve to be out there on the court as much as anybody, because that's the place where the players are trying to perform. You're not the reason why everybody else is going out there to watch. Like you're not the reason that everyone else is there too. They're there to watch the players and they also want to see them the next game. And so there does need to be some kind of policing of it, but I just don't know how in the world you're going to ban it completely. And they're not going to. Last thing about this too, like people are talking about John Shire and calling him whiny, right? Like I know you've done that. Everybody else has done it, man. Also, if we're trying to say, well, the students deserve to be out there, they're happy, they're having a great time. Like, can we not understand why John Shire might be a little frustrated so soon after the game? Like, John Shire going to the podium after the game and having a problem with his player that got hurt because of the court storming? Yeah, I can understand. Like, I might understand a coach going over to the podium and saying, hey, what are we doing here? Like, my guy just got hurt, not for anything that he did on the court while playing, but because the fans were just flooding in from all angles.
But my thing is, though, he already stated that this happened to them a couple of times before and nothing happened. He had nothing to say about it then. Then also, too, we see it all the time, every night, at least a couple of times a week, somebody storms the court for something. We can count on our hands the amount of times something bad in a, I'm not even going to say a major way, has happened. The first things that come to my mind is LeGarrette Blount against, I forget who they were
Boise State.
But then that was a situation to where he could have easily gotten off the field. The fan just said a racial slur to him, I do believe, and that's what happened.
Well, and fans were like sitting there. I saw somebody else say, yeah, they were flipping Mark Mitchell off, and they were right there next to McCain in his face while they were going. Like, they didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, so that's not okay behavior for the fans to go out there on the court and do that, unless you're with it.
I mean, no way. Well, you say that to me. Look, man, when the fans run out to outside of a racial slur.
Unless you pop them.
Yeah.
If you were a player, and then you would pop them, and you'd go LeGarrette Blount on somebody
racial slur, that's a whole different ball game. If you come out there and you taunt me, I'm probably going to say something back to you. Yeah. You might catch a shove, because that's how I give it up. You might get a shove, but that's also the risk that the student takes. You want to be dumb enough to say something to a dude that's 6'3", 200, like LeGarrette Blount was, 6'3", 250 pounds, then you run the risk of getting socked out.
But then who gets punished more, though?
The player is going to get punished. You are very correct by that. So that's what I said.
But it's not equal.
But I think also, too, as a player, you got to understand that that's going to come with it. You know that these unruly fans are going to run on the court. They're going to say stuff. You got to be prepared for that as well. So, yes, but I do see the point. But as I was saying, the only ones I remember off the top of my head is LeGarrette Blount. And then this year, Caitlin Clark and Kyle Filipowski. Other than that, we've had no incidents, really, of this happening with guys running off the court. And there's been plenty said. There's been plenty of taunts. There's been plenty of stuff that happens when these fans storm the court, and we haven't had any incidents. But just because now Filipowski gets hurt, yes, it's unfortunate. I'm not saying I'm fine with him getting hurt. I'm not saying that's cool that he got hurt. Don't get it twisted there. But I'm just saying that players, and this is just a part of college sports, this is what's going to happen in big upsets, and it's not much you can do about it. And I just feel like that the players and coaches alike can be better prepared for situations like this.
I mean, that might be true. John Shire could have gotten those guys off the floor if he wanted to.
Yeah,
that's true. The frequency in which players get hurt, to me, I think that misses the mark. Because if we're talking about the frequency, like, part of this is to make sure it doesn't happen. Because to me, okay, well, it hadn't happened yet, so let's just keep on rolling the way we're rolling. Until somebody does get significantly hurt, and then what? It's not like we didn't see it coming. We've had this conversation. We're having it right now. So just because it hasn't happened in an extreme level, we just keep going, well, it hadn't happened yet. It could have been worse with Kyle. I didn't know how hurt he was. I don't think anybody did at that time. He had to be helped off. Maybe you thought he was being too whiny. I'm sure there were a lot of fans that hate Duke just immediately saying, oh, yeah, Kyle Filipowski whining again. But I didn't know how hurt he was. And then to get to the last point, I do want to really know this. And I would like for everybody to be as honest as they possibly can. Stanford Pete writes in, Fitty, if that was R.J. Davis getting hurt because of a court storm, you wouldn't have this take. Which, I got to tell you, man, I think I feel the same way. If Armando Bacot...
Then you don't know me very well. I fired Hubert Davis in his first season of his head coaching career.
Oh, okay.
I'm not afraid to be critical if I feel
nobody's
like...
Nobody's saying that, though. Nobody's talking about how you're not afraid to be critical. Fans are critical of their teams all the time.
Yeah,
that's a misnomer.
When you sign up to play basketball for Carolina, Kansas, Duke, or Kentucky, when you lose to a team or a program like a Wake Forest, like a Georgia Tech, you expect the court to be stormed. It's part of it. It's what you sign up for when you go and play at a premier college basketball institution. And so I look at it and say, we lost to Georgia Tech. The court got stormed. Nothing happened. We lost to Syracuse. Court got stormed. Nothing happened.
Right. Nobody got hurt.
Maybe Hubert Davis is more prepared for those situations than John Shire is in practice.
But see, and I'm glad you brought that up, because is that the case? Like, did you see those court storms? Like, did you go back and watch those? Because
yeah, I watched the game. I watched the court get stormed.
What happened with Georgia Tech then if Hubert Davis was so much better prepared?
What do you mean?
You were saying Hubert Davis was more prepared to get his guys to the sideline safely. Like, there was some strategy that he deployed to make sure that his players got to the sideline and therefore everything is okay.
I mean,
plus it wasn't as rabid as what happened there.
Because like, the coaches aren't going to go over this pregame because they're not going to want to even put a single shred of a thought in their players' minds that they could lose the game. They're not going to be like, all right, guys, if we lose, this is what we're going to do right here. Okay, whatever, whatever. They're not going to do that because of the psychology of it. They're not going to want to put any type of doubt in their players' minds.
Well, and the thing, too, like, I know Fitty and people can be critical. I mean, we're critical of our teams all the time. We're angry because we are invested. We're angry at them for not performing well. You can fire Hubert Davis. You can fire all sorts of coaches. It's not just Fitty as much as we like to joke about it and put emphasis on the characters that we are. But everybody likes firing their coaches if they're terrible. Plenty of Panthers fans want to do that.
Yeah, but
something like this that is so either way. Like, I remember when, what was it? Like, you hate players that will fight. I forget what the moment was. I think it was the NC State stuff with UNC last year, Tre'Quavion Smith. You brought the glasses on, whatever, right? But, like, to me, I do think if Armando gets hurt, and that is Wake Forest fans, man, I cannot see you getting as mad as you are right now.
Because I would be, if the role were reversed and this happened to Hunter Salas, let's say, yeah, I'd be mad about it, but I understand it. I know that's part of the game, but I'm not going to be sitting here like, oh, they need to ban it. Now, I'd be tight because a key player off my team got hurt. But at the same time, I know this is college sports. This is what it is. I enjoy this. That's why I said Bryce and I were supposed to go to the game. We had tickets to the game, but we couldn't go because of his own basketball commitments. But had we been there, we'd have been right down there on the field with the footage, or right down there on the court with the footage, having a good time. Because like they were saying earlier, and I heard this opinion, that people grow up watching college sports, you see this. So then when you become a student or you become a fan of these schools, when you have moments like that, you want to be a part of it because you saw it coming up. You watched your team storm the court or storm the field after a big victory. I mean, probably one of the most fun I had going on unofficial visits my senior year in high school was when South Carolina beat Georgia. And
which
they
is also
stormed
a big part
the field
of this, by the way,
and
recruiting.
And tore down the goalposts back when you could do that. That was amazing. I loved it. And so it was a lot of fun.
Right.
I support it no matter who the school is. I think you deserve to celebrate. I just think we've had a couple of unfortunate situations that's gotten people in a tizzy. But I support field storming, court storming, no matter what the team is, man. If you get a huge win, you deserve to celebrate.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked because Instant Replay continues next. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
A lot of folks have throughout the show, as we've talked about other things, said, KB, when are you going to talk about Cam Newton? When are you going to talk about the brawl and this and that? And I mean, it was on the list. It just hasn't been near the top of the priority list. But it was ugly. It was definitely ugly. If you probably have seen the video by now. You know, Cam Newton at one of his events, 7-on-7. He's been doing the 7-on-7 thing for years. You know, it's part of his overall efforts at youth outreach and just doing stuff for the kids, man. That's what he does. He's always been a part of this in that way, or he has been for several years anyway. So it took place at an invitation-only camp and tournament over the weekend in Atlanta. The event was organized by We Ball Sports, an apparel and sports media company, and Newton runs C1N, a youth sports organization that sponsored a team in the tournament. There's a video on social media that shows Cam Newton while wearing one of his hats. You know, it's Cam, right? One of the hats got the hole in the top. He's got the, are they called dreads? I think those are dreads. I want to make sure I get the terminology right.
It's hair. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but just the hairstyle. I think it's dreads, but I could be wrong about that. Either way, his hair's sticking out of the hat. It's unmistakably Cam. And he's scuffling with two, maybe three. Some have thought four, but it looks kind of like three people to me. And then camp staffers and security officers step in, and some guy in a white shirt comes in and throws a wild haymaker, and I'm still not entirely sure who he was trying to hit. I don't even know. The WeBall Sports co-founder, Nehemiah Mitchell, told The Athletic that everyone involved in the altercation, including Cam Newton, was removed from the event. There's so much here, all right? And I want to be quick about it. The jokes that came out of this on the internet's always undefeated. What was the one about Auburn smoke that you saw? The one about Cam Newton? I mean, he's used to this.
Yeah, he's used to carrying people on his back. He did it at Auburn.
He did it at Auburn, right.
And I also saw salesman.
We're salesman. He said Byron Bell, Mike Rimmers, and somebody else.
Nate Chandler prepared
Cam for this. Yeah, that one, after you said it, I went and looked at it, and that one just had me in tears. It's a shame. It's ugly. It's also, you know, kind of representative of what youth sports has unfortunately become in a lot of places. You have grown-ass men trying to fight a guy who, listen, Cam's not perfect. And I don't know that I'm necessarily in a position to talk about some of these things. I mean, the elephant in the room here is that, you know, I'm a white guy, and while I'm allowed to have opinions on things, I mean, I listened to Wes Bryant earlier give his thoughts, and he and I talked about this before the show and, you know, how he feels that reflects on the black community of athletes. And you know, I thought Wes articulated his thoughts well. I did want to play this. I thought Shannon Sharp did a really good job of, you know, summing up his disappointment in the scene and what he thinks the attitude should be differently. I guess check Shannon Sharp out this morning.
I hate this because I've seen videos before of kids being openly and blatantly disrespectful to Cam Newton. Cam Newton doesn't have to do this. Cam Newton has made enough money in the NFL. He can kick his feet up and do what he wants to do, do his podcast, and he's doing a great job of that. But he decided that, you know what, I want to give something back. I want to be able to share and partake some of this knowledge and wisdom that I've garnered over the years, and maybe some of these kids can get something from me. Had it been me in that situation, when I was growing up, Stephen, if I could have got a professional athlete, somebody that I could touch, that came from my community, that was doing something great, yes, sir. No, sir. Never being disrespectful. And we've seen the videos. Oh, you a free agent. Oh, you this. Oh, you that. Cam is probably going to be something more than you'll ever be. Instead of learning and trying to gain wisdom, you go to try to be disrespectful. But I told his dad this. The first time those campers would have started being disrespectful, I'd have shut it down. I'm not going to. The one thing I will not tolerate is disrespect, especially from a child. Cam doesn't have to do this. Now, it's being reported they might have been adults, they might have been kids. Even the adults, sometimes the adults are worse than the kids. Right. Because what we're starting to see, Stephen A., is that parents are starting to live vicariously through their kids. Right. They weren't able to accomplish something, so I'm going to drive my kid. My kid is about to be the next Peyton Manning or the Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Donald or whatever the case may be. But Cam showed great restraint because Cam didn't throw any punches. He's just slanging people off him, trying to keep people up off him.
I think he stated it. First of all, watching those guys try to fight Cam Newton.
Should have had the Benny Hill music.
Apparently, two of these coaches used to coach with Cam, as I understand it, on his
7-on-7
team. Yeah. And so there's a relationship there. I saw that one or two of those guys is claiming that, you know, Cam was trash talking and, you know, Cam even offered to lay a wager on the game. And like, this is supposed to be about the kids. Like that phrase that Shannon used there at the end, you know, parents living vicariously through their kids. We've been saying that for years, but it seemingly gets worse and worse all the time. And okay, there's a little bit of trash talking going on. I remember when I was a kid, you know, some of the dads would jaw back and forth. Nobody started swinging on each other. Nobody was jumping Cam or nobody was jumping anybody. And you're jumping a man who, by the way, 6'5", 250, 260. I mean, he's bigger than half the defensive ends that have come after him in his NFL career. What did you think was going to happen? Like, he's toying with these dudes. I think one of them might have landed a semi-clean shot, but he's wrestling three guys because that's what he's doing. I mean, that's who Cam is physically. It was an ugly scene. I don't know how much more I can add to it, but, man, that was – it's a bad look for everybody involved. Again, it's supposed to be about the kids.
And unfortunately, you see this stuff breaking out all over the country far too often. It's supposed to be about youth sports, teaching the game, right? I mean, this is 7-on-7 football. The purpose of 7-on-7 football is to get work in. Nobody plays, like, 7-on-7, like, flag football has become a thing.
Yes.
But 7-on-7 football, no high schools play 7-on-7. You know, there's no pro 7-on-7. This is supposed to be skills-based, you know, getting guys work in, teaching them how to play the game at a young age without, you know, the head injuries.
Well, high school does do 7-on-7.
They do, but in the spring. It's not a sanctioned event. There's no Friday night lights for 7-on-7 football.
Not a good portion of high schools because there's a lot that still run the option.
Sure. Sure, it's ugly. Jack just said, KB, I work in youth sports. I see stuff like this all the time. I do too. I used to see it a lot when I was younger and I would, you know, referee and umpire games to make extra money. You know how many guys I threw out of games? I'm not kidding about this. I've thrown dads out of peewee games with 7-foot rims. I've thrown dads out of 9 and 10-year-old baseball. And so, of course, the problem's getting worse. Now you got dudes trying to jump Cam Newton. And, you know, I think Wes pointed out earlier that, you know, those coaches, quote unquote, had taken a team picture and they're all wearing face masks. And it's just everything about it looks inappropriate. Everything about it looks childish and Bush League. And they end up in a fight with Cam Newton. Now they're making national headlines for all the wrong reasons.
Those coaches look like guys who would be on message boards talking about Cam Newton, talking crap, thinking they know everything.
And if your excuse is, well, Cam was talking trash, he's Cam Newton. who did you think you were, you know, dealing with?
But also, that's part of, like, Cam also has fun. We saw it for years here when he was talking trash to Thomas Davis. That was his way of having fun. He's helping the community at the end of the day.
A lot of people talk trash.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that grown-ups have to end up in fights in front of kids. That part's embarrassing. The number of dads that don't understand the concept of living vicariously through their kids, much less the self-awareness to know that they're doing it, is alarming. Newsflash. We all want the best for our kids, but the overwhelming odds are your kid's not going to end up being the next Cam Newton. So maybe instead of fighting him, you know, try to take something from him.
Especially when Cam Newton is in the top 0.01% of athlete in the last 20 years.
It's a big man.
They don't make them like that.
They bit off more than they can chew, that's for sure. Brian's on the phone lines. Brian, what's going on, man? What do you think about this?
Hey, buddy, how you doing? Love your show.
Thank you, man.
I know I saw you talking about the kids disrespecting Cam Newton. There's a movie out, and I did not like this movie, but it's out on Prime Video. It's called Underdogs. It's with Snoop Dogg and Mike Epps. And Snoop Dogg is supposed – he's a professional athlete that was – going a ride. But the way these kids were talking to him, like, you know, they were talking junk about him. And that was kind of like a big thing. Like, he's washed up. And these kids, from what I've heard about the Cam Newton situation, it was almost like these kids watched this movie and were like, well, this is what so-and-so did in the movie, to Snoop Dogg or to Mike Epps. And I just think, you know, I'm not saying art imitates life, but it does in that aspect, because from what I've read from Atlanta media and sports talk media, it's almost the exact same thing, to where, like, look, I'm not going to have these kids just talking junk about me and not say something back if y'all are not going to step in.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, too. I'm sure you noticed it. Did you see Cam Newton throw one punch?
Not at all.
Because he knew. He knows he can't. Whether he's being attacked or not. He knew, and that's how much composure that man has. I mean, think about the Josh Norman. Everybody's recalling the Josh Norman incident today in practice. If you go back and rewatch that, and you look at the full control that Cam had of Josh Norman by the face mask, like, the guy, he's very composed in these moments. And so I'm watching him on that video, and I'm like, this dude hadn't thrown not one punch. And he could have hurt one of those dudes, and probably both of them, but he didn't.
Right.
And all he did was hold him off because he had the wherewithal and the composure to do it.
Exactly. And I look at it, those parents, instead of getting on Cam Newton for, I guess, saying something to the children, these were 15 to 18-year-olds, why didn't they say something to their children, like, hey, look, this man is an accomplished athlete. He's done what he's supposed to do. Be quiet and listen to what he has to say. And that was never said.
I hear you. Hey, Brian, thank you for the phone call, bud. I don't get it. And, I mean, can you imagine that happening at a Peyton Manning camp?
No.
No.
Well, and to your point, like to what Shannon said and what the last caller said there, I was lucky enough to go to Wes Helms baseball camp in 2005. I didn't know much about Wes Helms, but my dad's like, you like baseball, you know, Wes Helms is a major league player. I didn't know that, you know, Wes Helms wasn't an all-star or anything. I thought it was the coolest thing ever that I was talking to Wes Helms, getting to learn advice from Wes Helms and some of the people that helped get Wes Helms to the majors.
Yeah, well, this is also an extension of internet sports culture, yep. rings culture, where, you know, if you aren't Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, for some reason people feel entitled to talk about you as if you're dog poo, you know, and disrespect the hell out of you. And I think that's part of this, too. Is that these kids have get caught up on, you know, the YouTube comments and, you know, the Twitter mentions and reactions. And, you know, for some reason, they feel emboldened to talk to a guy whose brain they should be picking. And it's like, you're talking to him as if you're his peer. You're not.
Because a lot of these kids hear their dad talking crap true. About these players.
Well, we're on Sports Talk Radio. We hear it too.
Yeah.
And look, this is why, as well, if you've got a young athlete, I can't stress this enough. If you've got a young athlete that, you know, plays football, baseball, basketball, they want to do the travel ball scene, they want to do AAU, 7-on-7, whatever, you've got to heavily vet the people that you're letting your kids play for. You just have to, right? And there are so many guys. Remember we had that discussion back in the day about, you know, Deion Sanders got a little flustered. He got upset with a reporter because he didn't refer to him as coach. Remember that?
Yeah, that was when he was at Jackson State.
And what did I say? I said, there's no way I'm calling another grown man coach just because he wants me to. There are some guys I call coach. I call a lot of coaches coach because it's a cultural thing, especially if you grew up in the South. But coach is not some title that, you know, you get to be called by when you're standing in the bank or on the street. Because as you can see, anybody can call themselves coach. Those dudes, the guys jumping Cam Newton, call themselves coach.
You tuned into Instant Replay. When the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.